Just grateful, Lord, for this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life, Lord, for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that's with us, Lord God, always and throughout the very end of the age, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for calling us, Lord God, and for comforting our hearts and being with us, Lord, through every trial, through every test, Lord. Father, right now, just in Jesus' name, we come before you as your people. Lord, we come before you, Father, with every care, every anxiety, Lord, every burden. We just lay it at your feet right now. We give everything up to you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you that you would have your way. Your will be done, Father, your kingdom come. Lord, right now, as we would just spend some time in your word, we pray, Father God, that you would just instruct us, that you would teach us, Father, that your spirit would minister unto us, Lord God. And Father, that every word that's spoken would be directed by your spirit, every thought, Lord God, everything, Lord, that it just be your will be done. And Lord, we bind every demonic force, every spirit of the devil, every assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name. We just break it and we cast it out. And Lord, we pray, Father, for the free flow of your life in and through us and your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, John chapter 3. Oh, first of all, we finished up last time's one. But is there any questions from... Yes? No? Questions from last ones? No? No? Okay, cool. Just checking. All right. John chapter 3 and verse number 10. Start there. Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Okay. All right. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, right? Now, going back in this one, I was thinking about this one a little bit earlier even today. Jesus is talking to one of the primary teachers of Israel at the time. And now this guy shows up in the middle of the night because, again, a lot of people were afraid of the association with Jesus. Because, you know, he was a controversial guy. Stuff that he said ruffled a lot of people's feathers, threw off a lot of systems that were there. So Nicodemus now, but he knows he's from God. There's that undeniable element of who Jesus is, that, wait, this guy's from God for sure. He understands that, but also there's a price that he would have to pay if he went to him during the daytime to talk to him that he didn't want to incur. So it's like, okay, I know this guy's from God. Let me try to talk to him. But let me find a time when I won't get into too much trouble. Because, see, Nicodemus is still trying to reason this stuff out in himself as well. See, there's a way that people thought God should be. There's a way that people anticipated that things should work. I mean, these guys were trying to do the religious thing the way that they was handed down to them, the tradition that they had, all of that. And now all of a sudden, here comes Jesus on the scene, and he's not doing things the way that they anticipated. He's breaking up everything, but undeniable that this is someone from God. So the difficulty in reconciling between the tradition that he has and also that which he also knows that this is God. So he's trying to find that balance. He's trying to find, okay, how does this work? He's trying to, and so he comes in the middle of the night, knocks on Jesus' door, and Jesus is like, look, ask, seek, and knock. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. You knock, the door's open. So Jesus is teaching him. He is instructing him. He is helping him come to a place of realization, understanding, and ultimately for the sake of decision. Because there comes a point where people will, if they keep on that path, you will get a chance to understand. And when you do, you get a choice to make, which is, do you go knowingly with the system of the world, or do you willingly bow your knee before the King of Kings and take the rejection that would come if Nicodemus had seen Jesus in the daytime? Do you willfully, openly take that as well? You know, do you associate with that 24/7 in who you are, what you're about, and take the attack and the persecution that comes with that? Now, you know, there is that figuring out thing, and God knows where everyone's at, but ultimately it comes down to that. You know, if you're going to follow him, you got to take up your cross and follow him, like Mark chapter 8, right? In fact, you know, keep your finger in John 3. Go back to Mark 8. Mark 8, which says, verse 34, when he called the people unto him, he said unto his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Come. Hey, welcome.
Follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay, this is not talking about these mass forwards that you get on email that says, look, forward this to 10 people or you're ashamed of God, and if you're ashamed of him, then he's going to send you to hell, so better forward this. No, it's not talking about that. By principle, I just don't send spam to people. So, no, what this is talking about is basically a spiritual allegiance that we have with the kingdom of God, and that's where we walk out, and that's the way that we live. Now, if you're denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him basically means is, okay, your way, not mine, every day. That's all it is. You know, it's just basically you've died to self, you've died to your expectation for whatever in this life, in this world, you've let that all go, and now you take and receive from his hand whatever it is that he has for you, be it left, right, up, down. You're like the wind. You go wherever he sends you, whatever it is that comes. Now, there is a spiritual progression in this thing as well. This is something that I'm starting to realize more and more as well. There is a depth, I guess, to the relationships that you have. I mean, Damatha, for example, you're married now for how many years?
Nine
years. Wow, dude. 9 years. Okay. you know your wife in a different way now than you did when you first got married. There's a certain way that you... There's a certain way that you knew her when you first got married. And over time, there's a depth of the relationship that has changed. So there's certain things right now that you don't even have to say to each other. It's just understood. You know this person knows you. And every day that goes forward that you are in that relationship, if it's a growing relationship, if it's a living relationship, if there's life there, if the Spirit of God is there, there's a depth and an understanding that comes the further that you go, the longer that you progress on that way. Now likewise, the Bride of Christ, this is who we are. As you walk with God down this path of life, there's a depth and an intimacy to the relationship and the connection that you have with Him that's not, you know, this mass forwarding email, come on Sunday, you know, raise your hand, come up to the front, say the, you know, your Hail Mary or whatever it is, the special code that you have to say to be okay according to the systems of men. But there's an understanding that's there. I mean, you know, praying in the name of Jesus is not using His name. Praying in the name of Jesus is a spiritual position where you live within the spiritual parameters of who He is. And when you pray, when you speak, when you do anything, you do it in Him. Because in Him you live and move and have your being, like John 15 says. So we live inside of Him, and in that place of intimacy and connection, out of that we have life. But there is a depth of relationship that develops while we keep going in this thing. See, this is where there is a blessing to continuing on. You know, sometimes, like, you know, especially I think when I was, you know, some years back, I sometimes was wondering, you know, why, I mean, like, you get shot at a lot. If you will take the spiritual allegiance and connection to the kingdom of God, everything in the world will, every spiritual cannon that they have will be aimed at your head. Any chance that they get a chance to shoot at you, they will. And if it's not for the protection of the Spirit of God, if it's not for His angels, that you and I would have been gone a long time ago. But, you know, you start thinking about it, it's like, okay, what's up with this? I mean, why am I constantly getting shot at? You know, that thought will cross your head because... across your mind, because you're like, you know, what's the deal? Because, you know, sometimes you just want a break. You know, you just would like it would be nice if this thing would just let up for a while. But there's a reason and there's a purpose in it. And, you know, I remember I had some friends in the States one time. One thing they said, how do they say, new level, new devil. You know, but. There is an element of that, in that as we continue on with Him, as the depth of your relationship with Him grows, there's also the types of things that you encounter, the types of, because we're also in a spiritual war, the types of enemies of the kingdom of God that you will also battle and that you will fight against. All those things will, you know, you will end up engaging in, is also a reflection too of the where you are in your walk and in your step with the Spirit. So, and it's not a thing about, you know, because man grandizes certain things. He creates his own system of like, okay, here's where I am in the totem pole. No, it's nothing about that. It's about basically, it's like, look, okay, like if you have a muscle that you're trying to exercise, right? You know, you're lifting 10 pounds like this. Okay, after a while, that 10 pounds gets kind of easy. So then you make it to 15. and then it goes up to 20. And then what you could do, you know, what you couldn't do with 10, you can do with 20 so many times. Now it's 25. Now it's 30. Because why? Because there's a strength that's coming to that physical muscle as a result of it being used, of it being exercised, of it being conditioned, of there being endurance that's there. Same thing with the spirit. As you continue to walk, as you continue to, as it were, test, then God allows, see, God allows for the circumstances and the situations to test you, to stretch you, to, all of that. He lets it happen. Because what it's doing as well is it's taking you to a place that you, in and of yourself, would never go. See, here's something that happens. We as human beings, on a base level, on a carnal level, left to ourselves, without the Spirit of God leading and guiding us, we will choose the path of least resistance, the path of absolute comfort, the path of at the expense of the rest of the world. We would allow everybody else to go through 1,000 hardships as long as we could not have to face one of them. We would do that. That's what people do in their default point in their flesh. So what happens is when a person yields to the Spirit, when a person is led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, when you're led by the Spirit, that's life and peace. But what He does is He takes you in a path that allows you to also be stretched, be tested, go through all of that, because there's a blessing that comes with it. But as you're going through that, you're being shot at, you're being attacked, you're being antagonized, you're being... And He's letting it happen. Now, there's a reason. You know, there's a purpose behind it. You know, for example, right now, I think back to... And I think back to some of the stuff that... Some of the stuff that would get me, like, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago, like, just really... It's nothing now. I wouldn't think twice about it. But now the kind of stuff that hits me, it's different. But there's part of that is a depth of now. I got a marriage question for you with the back to the whole thing. But like, there's certain things that, like, you know, initially that, you know, but you go to a different level too of like life and relationship and connection. So okay, so there's a natural reinforcement of the spiritual reality as well. So God is allowing for that test, that stretch, that, because there's some things that He's trying to work in us. There's some things that He's trying to build in us. Now, okay, back to John 3. Verse 10, Jesus said, and He answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Alright, so even there, like Jesus is like, look, I'm giving you the surface reality. I'm giving you the easy stuff. You know, how, and now this is the teacher of Israel. So he's like, how would you get it if I go to a deeper level with you? If I go to a higher level with you? You're already struggling with this stuff. You know, and now what happens when somebody comes into the Spirit? Or when the Spirit comes into that person? Jesus said, you know, it's better for you that I go away, because when I go away, this, you know, I'll send the Comforter, He'll be with you, the Spirit of Truth, He'll lead and guide you into all truth. So what happens is that we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Rhema of God that comes from the Father, the peace of that, of, and so He's the Logos, and He breaks off that word that you need today, the Rhema of God that you need today, the spoken word of God. He speaks it into your life this day, exactly what you need for the place that we are in this wilderness of life. Because we're in, this world is not a happy place. That's totally been reinforced even more over these last few weeks for me. Like, this world by and large for most people here is not a happy place. But when the Spirit of God comes into a person, he can switch the internal reality that you and I have so that you relate to the exact same situation from an eternal perspective, from a different state. So you can be in the exact same thing as somebody else. The one person will have joy and peace, and the other person will be suffering and in anxiety and wringing their hands and not know what to do. And it's the same situation externally. But what is it? The kingdom of God is within. Back to, remember Luke 17? Touch that one really quick. Luke 17, verse 21 says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is, so what happens when the kingdom of God is within is you can have two people in the exact same external situation, but one person with the kingdom of God within and one person without. The person with it within is rooted and grounded on the rock, has a foundation that comes from the Lord, so you're not shaken when the storm of life comes, whereas the other person whose house in life is built on the sand falls apart when the exact same situation shows up. Now, one thing that happens though too is when God is setting your foundation, he's digging deep. So he will, in order to set that foundation right, he will go deep into your heart and into your life, and it hurts. You know, it does hurt when he's cleaning you up, when he's revealing, when he's exposing, when he's showing, when he's doing that with you. It's not an easy thing. But what we do as children of God is we basically surrender ourselves to that process. See, this is the part that we play. You know, so many times people are like, okay, you know, they take the responsibility off themselves for their side of the process. Our side of the process is, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our part of the process is we choose to put ourselves in that position where we're like, all right, Lord, you do this work in us. I'm open for it. Go ahead. You see that? And then he does it. But we choose to still ourselves before his hand. We choose to allow him to do that work in us. And if we choose not to, you can move yourself out of that place. But your options are then self and the world system and whatever you can put together there. Which ultimately, now we're a group of people, we've been alive long enough that we've seen pretty much the end game of what that is. That's one nice thing about living for a little bit of time, is that you can pretty much figure out, okay, this is what people get in the world. This is what life pretty much entails for people that are part of the system. This is what they get. And there's nothing there. So for us, we say, okay, that being the case, now that we know that, okay, there's more going on, you should project ahead to life after this one. Okay, so what is life, what's the priorities while we're here? Now, verse 12 in John chapter 10, he said, "I've told you of earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." All right. Now Jesus had to, the Logos had to come into this reality, take on flesh, and connect with us on that level. I mean, he needed to, for our sake, give us also a natural example of the spiritual reality. I mean, you know, when you look through, one thing that I've really noticed about so much of the Old Covenant and all of these things, when God would do these things, when he would do miracles, he was giving natural examples of a spiritual reality so people could, in some way, shape, or form, relate to the things of spirit. So like when he had them build a tabernacle, what he had them build was a natural representation of the spiritual reality. So that's why there was no like leeway in, you know, okay, you can put a bay window on this side of the tabernacle, and over here you can do this, and you can change the curtain colors to fuchsia because you like, you know, it's no, nothing like that. It was, here is point blank everything of what I want you to do, because there's a, so when they're building the Ark of the Covenant, here's exactly what I want you to do. Here's exactly how I want you to build it. I want, you know, the, because inside the Ark of the Covenant, what's inside there? You have the Ten Commandments, you have, hey, welcome, welcome. So, you have Aaron's rod that budded, you have the jars of manna. So all those are representations of something. You know, the commandments of God, the provision of God, God's shepherding of the nation, and then even above the commandments with the ark, you had the mercy seat. So the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat because, and that's above because people couldn't keep, you know, they needed the blood to cover for them because, you know, they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. They couldn't. And so all of those are representations of the spiritual reality. So when God would build something, when he would put something together, all of that, ultimately what he's doing is trying to help people understand. You know, trying to help them connect on a certain level so that when they would actually, so when it would come, when it would show up, they'd be like, those that had eyes to see would see. Those that had ears to hear would hear. They would be, oh, I get it, I see. Two and two, you put it together. But those that don't, that can't see, though seeing they don't see, though hearing they don't hear, they miss it the whole way along. So Jesus came into the natural reality. And when he came into this natural reality, now there was a few moments in time, like one being, you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? When he goes up there, and it's before he's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, and there's Moses and there's Elijah, and for a moment in time, Peter, James, and John see, you know, Jesus in a glorified state. For a moment in time, they see him just at a higher octave. You see, it's still the same Jesus, but they just see him at a higher octave, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. You know, it's like, and then he comes back to this lower octave. I'm using musical examples for Natasha, but he goes up one notch, and then comes back. You know, and he's like, look, you know what? But it's always still the same Jesus. Now, people relate to God too. Also, from part of it is from your own walk. So for example, when a lot of people, when they first, you know, came to him, it was, oh gosh, I can't pay my car bill, and I've got this family problem or this issue going on, and and that's the way they related to him. And he met them there. See, that's just that he meets you at where you're at. He meets you where you are at that time, but he wants to take you past that surface, past that place of, oh gosh, my business, my company, my relationship, my whatever, to a depth of relationship and connection and intimacy with him that he wants to have, wants to have with his bride, but then also for your own life, for your own, what you were made for.
He wants to take you beyond that life and stage.
Yeah, no, that initial point is kind of like it's where you meet somebody at. When you meet someone, and when you know everyone is at a certain place, but his desire is to take you into a depth of connection and relationship with him. So there's a few things going on that, I mean, one is. Oh, one is that there's the process of us being conformed into his image and his likeness. So for example, when we come to him, yeah, there's stuff going on. You've got bondages and you've got issues and you've got damage that's been done to you, and there's maybe healing that needs to take place from whatever. Of course there's healing. Guaranteed, everyone needs healing from some, you know, all of that is there. So he's working with you on those things. Okay, that's one side of things. Then you have another side where it's like he's also taking you through an adventure and a walk and a relationship that's going deeper and deeper, and so that you can know him and that you can understand him. And see, what happens is that these two components work simultaneously. See, if you don't go with him in the journey that he has for you, then, because your healing is also along that path. So see, sometimes what happens is people are like, oh, okay, I just want to get healed. Well, if you just want to get healed and you stay there, the process of your healing is on that journey. The process of your healing is going and doing what it is that he instructed you to do in the first place. Because in, like Nahum the Syrian, you remember the leper when Elijah was talking? Like, going to the river and dipping yourself seven times in the Jordan and fulfilling the instruction that God gave you, that is the process of your healing. That's part of the process. And that's also part of a revelation of what? His heart. His heart, his own expectation. He was like, oh, I thought this guy would come out and, you know, come over here, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to be a healer. You know, it's like, I mean, that's, you know, the big show. He was expecting, you know, the conference. And Elijah didn't even come out. He sent his servant boy outside, and this guy, you know, wait, I deserve some recognition. I deserve, no. It's like, look, if you're not looking to man. See, that's part of it there too, is what Elijah was doing there too. It was not about man. If he went out there, that guy would have been looking to the prophet. The prophet's not the guy, the prophet's just the messenger. You look to the Father, we look to the Father. That's the source of it. So even there, it's like, look, anybody can get this word to you if you're willing to obey, if you're willing to walk in it. So, but Jesus speaks, he meets people where they're at. Now, there's a depth of relationship and connection that he wants to have with this creation. See, this is why it's really good when we surrender ourselves to that process. Because then you allow him to take you deeper. You allow him to take you into a depth that he wants for us. If you don't want it, you won't have it. I have family that I have a very surface relationship with. And very surface. It's weather and, you know, what's in the news, and that's about it. And the duration of the relationship, the duration of the conversations, you tapped out after 15 minutes. Because that's pretty much all there is at that level. And you can't with them, even if you wanted to, go deeper, because there's no desire and no heart for that relationship to be any deeper. You see what I'm saying? So with people that, you know, you would want to have a deeper relationship with, want to have a deeper connection with, because there isn't that level there, you have to stop. And you can only connect with them on that level. But there's other people where it's like, hey, let's really, you know, do this. Let's really, you know, dig in. And now, here's the thing there too, is there is something very scary about that. See, when somebody comes into your life like that, there is a level that now it's like, okay, the further that you go, the more vulnerable that you are. So like, if you put yourself in that place with God, you know, there's a point of no return. And a lot of people are afraid to go past halfway on the tightrope. I mean, you've seen those tightrope walkers before, where it's like, you know, they have that big long rope, and it's just, and the guy's up there, and it's like, and somebody maybe would take that first 1-2 step, but they're close enough where they can turn around and jump if they've started losing their balance. But when they get out to a certain point, you know, you have to go. And once you're past halfway, you know, that's, yeah, once you're past halfway, it's like, you know, you might as well finish it, because to go back is, you know, so it's like you can't. You need to finish the thing. So he, although there was a dog that I remember one time. My uncle had a dog in the States. Name was Waldo. And I remember this dog, like we were walking on the side of this riverbank. And, you know, the dog had jumped into the water, so the dog was swimming while we were walking. And, like, so we were walking across, and the dog was, like, trying to swim. And three-quarters of the way across the river, he decided it was too far. So then he turns around and goes back and swam back, then got out, and then got out to the side, and then ran and caught up. So I have seen it happen once. But, cool dog, too. Really cool.
And when you race, I mean, you don't stop after that, and then you just have to finish your lesson.
But this is something that does happen with the people of God. See, this is where we do come under attack. We do come under incredible persecution. And see, the further that you go with the Father, the more that He's reflected in you, what happens is now the more that you on a level of spirit, you will, I mean, it's like you're like a big homing beacon for like the powers of darkness. They see you in this dark world, and it's like all bets are off. You are now a target. And so if you will go further with Him, where He's chipping away at who you are and who you were apart from Him, and now it's His life shining through yours, now you are guaranteed to be like, you know, they'll aim everything they have at you. So what happens in that process, though, too, see, this is where we have to give everything up to Him. And this is also where when you hurt, tell Him that you hurt. When you feel that pain, tell Him. When you get depleted, because we get the world tries to drain us or to attack us or to game us or whatever, when you go into His presence, He fills you up. He refreshes your soul. He now there's sometimes though too where it's just like, and I've actually hit that point even recently a few times where I'm just like, I'm too tired to pray. It's like you just get to the point where you're just like, Lord, I'm tapped out. You know, I and but even in that, you know, just something that's like, if you just be in His presence, He'll minister to you there.
Krishna, your soul prays for you. Because when you're tired, sometimes you groaning and just saying.
Exactly. Because His spirit groans and with sounds and just what, but that spirit, the spirit of God in you, does make intercession. And so, but it's a place where we come where it's kind of like, you know what, even if I can't move forward today, I refuse to go back. You know, like even if I can't, you know, sometimes all it is just being able to just stand. And just stay, and just be. And you know, sometimes, you know, my dad and I were talking about this some time back, but just, you know, like sometimes God will have you in a place just to have you in a place. You know, sometimes, you know, we always are like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Sometimes He will just put you there just to have you there. Because He may need 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah just to keep from destroying that city. He may need someone in that spot just to be light and salt there. He may need you just to be there, just to learn to wait on Him. See, if your life really isn't your own anymore, if it really does belong to Him, then anything like that is fine. You know, what does it matter to you if you spend 10 years, 15 years, 20 years doing what seems like nothing? If it really is His, see, He can turn everything around in a moment. That's another thing with Him. Circumstances and situations can change very, very quickly. The people that are strong today can be made weak tomorrow. The people that are weak today can be made strong tomorrow. Those that are up, everything can shift very quickly. Look, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, what were the leading companies in the world are declaring bankruptcy today. Bankruptcy. Companies that have been around for hundreds and twenty-five years plus. Bedrocks of society. Gone. I mean, so it's like those kind of things are, when you're dealing with stuff like that, you have to realize that, look, everything can change on a dime at a moment. So we as people of God, we just flow with the Spirit. See, it's not about creating something for ourselves here. And this is where we have to shift an element of our thinking out of the way the world will program you, if you let it. See, the world will always have you trying to progressively build something. Build a career, build your job portfolio, build your client base, build your this, build your that, whatever. But if what we do is not led by the Spirit, it's a work of vanity. So for us, for example, I don't want to build anything if He's not in it. And whatever it is that I do today, I should be willing to walk away from tomorrow if He's pulling me into something else. And this is Him working, not me. So, right now, it's like if we don't have that, you need to get that. You need to come to a place of detachment. Because what will happen too is there will be a lot of people that will, they won't be willing to let go. And because they're unwilling to let go of that connection in the world, that will be their snag, that will be their snare. I mean, the whole mark of the beast is ultimately an allegiance to the world and the world system. I mean, it's taking something that allows you to partake in the world system, and by doing so, denying the source of your provision, which is Christ. So, Jesus will speak to people wherever they are. But something should, like in us, there should be a stirring as well. One thing is, there's got to be more. There's got to be more in the depth of the connection that you have with them. See, for me, one thing is, like, I have a hard time personally. If something is fake and not real, it's like, it's hard for me. I can tolerate it for a while, sure. But ultimately, it's like, I would really like the real deal. I would really like the genuine article. I would really like to... So like when I talk to a person, like, I would really like to know who the real person is in there. You know, like, I mean, sure, you know, you can have your pleasantries and, you know, your whatever. But if I'm really going to talk to a person, I would really like to know who that person is, what that person is about. Now, something cool about when you walk in the Spirit is you will actually be able to figure that out really fast. He'll give you discernment. You will actually know where people are coming from and what they're about. But, okay, and as Moses, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so, and this is the one verse everybody quotes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. How often too is what we hear, condemnation, all of this, but Jesus came as the Redeemer. You know, he came for... These guys are loud next door, aren't they? So Jesus came as the Redeemer. Alright. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, with Jesus coming into the world, with light coming into the world, when you and I have that light in us, there is a response that you and I will get from the world system. And you have to realize that this is going to be your experience, your test, your trial, part of the cross that we take up while we're here. So that... something that you have to resolve yourself to. See, we willfully take the persecution. We willfully take the separation, the discrimination, the attack that comes if that's the cost, and it is, of following Christ. Sure. Okay, that's all right. You know, whatever it is. But realize that it's there. See, when I don't know. I mean, somewhere along the way, I guess, you know, the hope that sometimes that we have is, look, you know, will it ever shut off? And no, it won't. Not while we're here. But that's also part of the refining process. That's also part of the whole God works all things together for the good. Those that you know that verse, right? Romans 8:28. Let's flip there really quick. Romans 8:20. Actually, here. You know, Nats just talks about. Let's go back to verse 20. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Alright, so there's the one about the Spirit. Basically, just guys are really loud next door. This is something new. I'm wondering if we should keep track. Maybe we'll move rooms next time. But so God works. Another thing that He does is, one, like when we get beat down, when we go through trials, when we go through all those experiences, we face a lot of those things, but also, gosh, these guys are really distracting. So we face those things, but also God's able to take the situations, and He's able to use that in a way that it strengthens you, in a way that it works out for something that's in the end when we look back, basically.
At first you don't see it,
but when you look back and when we go, like, so later on you reflect on what life was, what life has been, and you see the things that He's brought you through, and there's a gratefulness in your heart for what you've gone through. Because even though there's there, because one thing too is I've also seen is he'll take, if you've given it over to him, he'll take the sting away from whatever it was. He takes the pain out. So you can look back at stuff and it's like you will have had those experiences, but the sting is taken away. And
that would show thinking process so that you would probably learn from that experience.
And you learn from that and you're able to minister to other people out of that, and the places where you were broken, now the Spirit of God also comes through and touches the lives of other people.
Sometimes it's instant clarity, even though you're in it all of a sudden, you just...
Yeah.
Everything just switches and then you just see.
Yeah. So you're being that straight and that constant connection. Yes.
Yeah, so I think if yeah, we're going to take a lesson next day. So I mean, our time's almost up anyway. So, but I know this is new. This is new. Okay, so I think closing with this thought, though, but just basically the point being that you have to realize and know that the attacks do come. They will come. And but there's also a depth of character, connection, relationship that God is building you and building into you through this.
There's something for a reason, I think, that it may leave and stuff are coming, that you should welcome it, because even when we were going through it, like, I guess we're still coming out of it now, but, you know, financial situations and all that, I think God eventually taught us a lesson, as in, you know, we put our faith and trust in material and, you know, finances, but we can get that He's the one that provides everything. And, you know, it was a lesson learned right throughout. I mean, even now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that we're going through it.
Because you wouldn't learn it any other way. See, that's the other thing. There's certain things that you would, for example, God's provision, unless you were tested in that, you wouldn't, one, understand your own heart about it, your own actual, like, do you really believe that He'll provide for you and take care of you? You know, okay, then it's like, and then it comes down to, okay, you know, fine for me and for my home, but what about now when I've got 40 people, you know, that I'm supposed to be watching out for, and they're walking. You see what I'm saying? Like, what happens when you have a million people and you're the children of Israel in the desert, when there is no provision anywhere? You know, you're looking around, there's not a blade of green grass anywhere, and you've got all of these people that are hungry and are, you know, will He really, and you know, and it's like, yes, He will. He will make the way for something. And it comes to the point where if you keep walking with Him, it'll come to a point where it's like, of course He'll take care of that.
And sometimes we pray for things like, you know, we pray for patience, we pray for love, but sometimes we don't get it, but we get opportunities to experience that. Sometimes people don't realize that. For instance, if I say, God, I really pray for patience, but do you think God gives patience, or does He give us an opportunity?
He'll stretch the hell out of you.
Exactly.
No, He will. He'll stretch you in a way that you never imagined possible. And once you have come through that experience, you'll be like, yeah. No, I mean, he'll because this world, he allows the system of this world to do what it does, because in the process He's able to utilize the things that we go through unto the good of the saints. So for us it's like, so realize that you will be a target, these things will come, they will happen, but if you can take all things before Him and allow Him to work with those, that there will be a refining of the character in you. As you see, this is why too, you have to take it before Him, because if you don't, that which would be something that would be a blessing, well, if you don't take it before Him, it'll become something that becomes a bitterness, or it'll become a point of anger, or you see, like it'll be something that anything that's not taken before him turns into something bad. Everything that's submitted to him and at his feet becomes something that's good and a blessing. So there is that need to always take stuff back before him. It's when something good comes into your life. Good things can be twisted if they're not submitted to his hand and into his care. You know, we so often focus on the troubles and the hardships, but you can have something fantastic come into your life as well. What do you do with $5 million? You know, if you don't have the Spirit of God leading you in that, you can make a really big headache for yourself. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's, you know, around of a lot of cash, and he's just like, look, it's a headache for these people that don't, I mean, like for these people that, you know, I mean, for example, for him and some of the stuff that he's dealing with, he's just like, you don't know where people are coming from. You know, who's your real friends then? You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden now, people's motives, people's motivations, all those things go up in the air. Yeah. When you're poor, you're not too hard to know who your friends are. But no, I mean, like people, you know, I mean, for him, being able to check people's motivations, the people that are around you. I mean, it's like it's everything comes with its own set of problems and issues, everything. And the key for us, the victory for us, is with whatever you experience, you always take stuff before the Father and allow Him to lead and direct you in that. But the solutions to whatever it is that we're facing, it doesn't come with, you know, a change in the external. It's the change in the internal. The kingdom of God is within. It's the change inside. That's where the victory is, and that's what we seek, that's what we pray for, that's what we ask the Lord to do in us. Out of that, that's where it's like, it doesn't matter what's going on externally. Let God take you deep within. So we'll stop there, unless you want to join the lesson next door. And and we'll stop there. Whatever it is, I want you to know that Jesus loves you right here and now. I want you to know that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. And to get that personal relationship, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died and rose again. And I thank you for dying for my sins. Holy Spirit, come down. Fill me. Change my heart. Renew my mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Most High.